This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Hey there, and welcome to the Feed Feed podcast. I'm Alexis Santos, a food editor at the Feed Feed, the world's largest crowdsourced food publication and social media community, serving as your daily source for what to cook, bake, eat, and drink. Here on the Feed Feed podcast, I'm speaking with members of the hashtag Feed Feed community to hear their stories, culinary inspiration, and get some of their best cooking tips. Today, I am so excited to be joined by Liam Donafy, aka at Liam's Lunchbox on social media. He is a viral food content creator and self-taught cook who loves to explore the intersection of comedy and food. His content is always a favorite of celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay's on TikTok, and Liam has also been featured on MTV's Ridiculousness and CBS Sunday Morning, among others. Welcome to the Feed Feed podcast, Liam. I am so excited to have you.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Of course. So, much to unpack with everything that you have going on, but so let's start, I guess, from the beginning. When you were growing up as a young lad, where were you and what was kind of the food that you grew up with?
Okay, so I grew up in the super cold town of Brunswick, Ohio.
Nice.
Super exciting there. It's a great place.
A bustling metropolis.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a kind of like a bridge between, you kind of just pick and chose what you were. Like, you're in the suburbs, but people chose to be from the deep city, or like some people acted ghetto and some people acted country, but like, it was the suburbs. But the food I grew up with there, it was mostly like, if you ever went there, pretty much every single place is like bar food. It's like, they have a burger, they have wings, they have pizza, they have like mozzarella sticks. It's like almost every single place kind of has those things. I went through phases of like, maybe I'd get burgers places, or maybe I would do, wraps and salads. That's when I started eating healthier. Even though the salads are just filled with like a bunch of sauce and like fried chicken, like it's not healthy. Yeah. And like mayonnaise. But like from a young age, I feel like I was eating a lot of McDonald's. Like my grandma would take me to McDonald's probably every single day. Like, 'cause she like babysat me when my mom couldn't, handle me anymore. So she would take me to McDonald's, and I blame her for getting me, making me a chubby child. 'Cause we would eat McDonald's every single day. And then we'd go to Drug Mart, and she'd buy me a little WWF action figure, not even WWE.
What is the difference between WWF and WWE?
World Wrestling Federation. And I think World Wrestling Entertainment is what it is. WWF,
so is WWF
when, like, Hulk Hogan. It's the same thing, but like renamed. Like, there's Hulk Hogan and like Stone Cold and WWF. Then it went to WWE, which like John Cena, I think, was even in between those. Like, but yeah, so I grew up on a lot of McDonald's. I liked Wendy's growing up. Like, honestly, Brunswick, Ohio is like, it's a whole line of every single fast food chain, like back to back to back. And then there's a whole line of like restaurants that are just like bar food. And then we have like two Mexican restaurants that people fight over. Neither are authentic, but they were pretty much considered the best, they were considered the best of the city. I don't think I had like a risotto or like any like actual fancy food until I went on a cruise in like junior year of high school. Like, I don't think I had anything that wasn't like bar food, fast food, or like, we call it like Baja Mexican food is what it's called. It's like pretty much like queso blanco on everything, which is delicious, but it's not like authentic.
Okay.
And then I guess, so you know, like super, Polish food.
Yeah. Not a super diverse upbringing with culinary, it sounds
like.
Yeah.
But then towards high school, I started getting into like sushi and like Mexican food. Like instead of just American, I started eating like Japanese food. And I'm like, oh, this is like my favorite thing now. Like any sort of Asian food I liked. But I always like tried the weirdest thing on menus when I was growing up, like same thing as now.
Yeah, so I feel like the way your content is now is sort of reminiscent of that kind of culinary upbringing with having like fast food and like weird food. And so is that kind of what inspired that or what?
I think so. Like I just made like Korean beef sloppy joes. I've always liked, oh, okay. So here's a story. When I was like, I was on a field trip when I was probably like in fourth grade, and it was me and my friend, and we were at the zoo, and we were by the butterfly exhibit. And I mean, that's not a necessary detail I needed to say, but I felt like that's it was important. Necessary. And we had watermelon cubes, and then we had like something else. We were probably eating like chicken nuggets or something. So we had ranch with the chicken nuggets. We had watermelon cubes. And then I was like, what if I dipped the watermelon in the ranch? And I did it and I took a bite of it. And I'm like, oh, this is so good. Even though like I remember I was just pretending to be cool that it was good. Like it wasn't actually good. But like I was like, what if I like open a restaurant one day where it's like two things that you don't think would go together that actually would taste good together? And I'm like, that was when I was literally probably like 7 or 8 years old. And I feel like I've had the same mindset of like, oh, let's mix two things that don't think there's like all my content is really just fusion of two things that you don't think would mix and end up tasting good. And some of them don't taste good. But I feel like it's been since I was probably like 7 years old when I wanted to open this restaurant. And I wanted to call it Shecky Boo Boo. I don't know why that was where my mind was at. But I mean, I wasn't like a restaurant enthusiast at the time, so I didn't even know like why I thought that was the name of it. But yeah, I guess I wanted to do something like that for a long time. But
so give us some examples of things that you've combined and if they were good or bad.
Okay. So the weirdest one, I think, actually the other day, I always tell people Fruity Pebble mozzarella sticks is like actually like the pinnacle of like my page, if I could describe it, because it's like I wouldn't expect those two things to go good together, but they do. And then like honey bun with cheese, I tried that trend and that was really good. Surprisingly good. I thought it was good. Okay. I just think like cheese and sweet go good together, but like
that's true.
Something that like Korean beef sloppy joe was nuts. It was really good. I'm trying to think of something that I combined that wasn't good. A lot of things actually turn out being pretty good, but like an example of something that's bad, like banana ham hollandaise is disgusting.
What does that even mean?
It's like a banana wrapped in ham, covered in hollandaise sauce. It's not good, but it's better than you would think, actually. It's not even the worst thing that I've had on my page, but it's better than you think, but I would never eat it ever in a million years. And then I'm trying to think of something that was really bad. I mean, I made lump soup from the cartoon Big Mouth. It's like orange juice and nacho cheese, and that's terrible. That it literally just tastes like stomach acid. It tastes like if someone puked, like if you puke in your own mouth, that's exactly what it tastes like.
Oh my god.
So yeah, I would definitely not recommend those ones. There's definitely like extremes on my page where it's like, don't try this. But lately I've been trying to make it more like everything is edible, at least edible, and everything's at least somebody will like it or find some sort of like, oh, this is kind of good. Instead of like, you know, the weird, like off the wall kind of things. That's like, I don't even want to taste it. Flamin' Hot Cheeto. Flamin' Hot Cheeto Rice Krispies are good too, but.
Flamin' Hot Cheeto Rice Krispies. I could see that. Yeah. I could see that being good. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like junk food and like kind of crazy stuff, but as far as like, I guess, real, real cuisine? Like, is there anything that you like to make or anything that you, I guess, are inspired by or enjoy?
I don't even eat junk food, really, to be honest with you. Like, I'm on a daily basis, I don't enjoy snacking, and I don't like chips and like Cheetos and like burgers and stuff like that. Like, wings are one of my like favorite things ever, and I don't even really eat those that often. Like, I mostly just like sushi and like poke and Mediterranean food or salads or sandwiches or wraps. Like, pretty much just any sort of lighter fare is kind of what I enjoy.
So it's all a farce.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's just mostly because, like, it's something that everyone can relate to. Like, everyone could relate to, like a pizza chicken or, like, pizza pot pie. Like, because everyone knows pizza, but, like, when I make something like okonomiyaki, like, I've made okonomiyaki and I'm like, oh, wow, this is incredible. I love this okonomiyaki dish that I made. But, like, no one cares, really. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and the only time they've ever cared about my okonomiyaki recipe is when I voiced over it with Gordon Ramsay. I was like, Gordon Ramsay has reacted to a bunch of my videos. And it's like, I just put that voice over the okonomiyaki video and it finally got views, but people don't care about the actual okonomiyaki.
Got it. But that's not how you actually eat at all.
No, a lot of people think like, oh, you're eating all this crazy stuff. I'm like, I literally take a bite and then I give the rest to like my roommates. Like, and if they want to eat it, they can. If they don't, they don't.
Okay.
But
so do you have like cooking experience? Like, where, so you're kind of a self-taught home cook, but you know, I know you've worked in restaurants and stuff too. So what's kind of your culinary experience then?
I think I was always like I said, growing up, like although I didn't try like a bunch of different cuisines, I really only had like access to like Americanized versions of like Japanese, Mexican, American, like, you know, like Americanized versions of different cuisines, not actually authentic. I at least like to like be open-minded and try new foods from different places. And then as I got older, I just like started combining things. Like, we would do like Doritos ramen or something. Like, me and my brother did like a Doritos peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But like, as far as actual cooking goes, it kind of started the same way as like me just experimenting at home, because I like wanted to see what goes good together. And before I started my cooking job, actually pretty much every job I had was in the food industry. Like, I first worked at like an ice cream place. It was liquid nitrogen ice cream. And then after that, I worked at like, I've worked at Buffalo Wild Wings making wings and burgers and fries and like all these other kind of like American foods. And then I worked at Jersey Mike's making sandwiches. And then I worked at Lao Szechuan. It's a Chinese place. And I worked there as a busser, though. But I like used to watch the cooks in the back and see how they do this stuff, like with the wok. And then finally, ooh, I think where I got the most experience from was really from Good Times at Davy Wayne's in Hollywood. I did security there after my short-lived sous chef experience in a bar kitchen. It wasn't a sous chef, really. We used to call ourselves like kitchen rats is what that's what our head chef would call us. He would call us kitchen rats. Like, you guys are just kitchen rats, like me, dude. Like, he was a stoner surfer guy, and he was like, "What's up? My name's Chef LAJ." But it was cool because like he worked at Michelin star restaurants and then just chose to work at a bar because like it was easier, made more money for him or something. And then we would make like everything from scratch, which was cool because I learned how things were made. He taught me how to like make pico. He taught me knife skills, which is kind of where I learned most of my knife skills from was him. He taught me the claw. I remember when I was in there, I'm like, I just don't understand how people do this. Like, how do people cut with a claw? He goes, you cut yourself enough times and then you start doing it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, okay. And then I cut myself enough times and I learned how to do the claw. It's like, you just really have to learn by throwing yourself into the chaos. And that's how you learn. You just keep failing and failing and failing until you learn something. But I did burgers. I did nacho cheese from scratch. We did pico de gallo, like knife skills. Really just how to like cut everything, like knife skills on a lot of different things. We did like shrimp, bacon, grilled cheese. We did like really just bar food mostly. We made like brisket and pulled pork and what else? Fries.
That's a good selection of items. I mean, I've never been to a bar that had that many good options what to eat.
Yeah, but I think we had more too, but I can't really remember. But I mean, everything was good. I mean, it was probably the best grilled cheese I had. Oh, mac and cheese. His mac and cheese was what people came for. Like, we would just make it on the fly too. And it was like the easiest mac and cheese ever. And I swear to God, it was like better than like probably 9 out of 10 mac and cheeses that I've ever had. Maybe even 10.
What did he put in it? What was in it?
It was literally just like white cheddar, aged Gouda, heavy cream, and like you just top it with like bacon and like or like shrimp or like bacon and shrimp or pulled pork or brisket. And like it was just so simple but super good.
I want that.
Yeah, I don't know, but it was good. It definitely made you feel like stomach ache, nauseous after, but like because like when you're drinking and then you eat like a plate of like heavy mac and cheese, you're gonna feel like not good.
Yeah,
but like it tasted incredible, that's for sure. But like okay. The barbecue sauce was made from scratch. Like his Cali Boom Boom sauce was made from scratch. Like we would cut the pickles to go into like the secret sauce and stuff. It was just like kind of prided himself on making everything from scratch, which was cool.
Well, that's cool. So it seems like you kind of got like a foundation under you of, you know, how to just navigate a kitchen and make real food and, you know, something, you know, other than just like picking up fast food every night, so that at least you're kind of, you have that foundation to make legitimate food for yourself, which is sort of, I guess, what brought you to where you are now, I assume.
Yeah, pretty much. But like during that period of me working there, I was like, oh shit, like, I really want to do this like food thing now. Like I was thinking like, I need to get really good at this. And now I'm kind of like, I don't really care about being like the greatest cook ever. But like during that time in the kitchen, like at home after work, like even after I worked 12-hour days at this bar, like cooking food and standing on my feet all day and cleaning, like I would go home and I'd stop at like Ralph's or Vaughn's and pick up ingredients and then cook for myself at home and like try to experiment in the kitchen at home. Like, do I want to make like I made like an Eggo waffle burger, then I made like peanut butter and jelly gnocchi, and then I made like, I just kept like experimenting in the kitchen at home. And then I started like over quarantine, actually, I just like learned how to do so much like knife skills and what is a quenelle, what's a like learning the mother sauces and learning how to cut different fruits and vegetables. And like pretty much I'd like watched over like 100 videos and pretty much like gave myself an online course the first few months of quarantine. I probably watched like over 100 videos on like cooking. And then I took a cooking class for probably about a year before quarantine. I probably took like a month of cooking classes. I don't even remember what we cooked. It was kind of like watching him cook, and like he just like told us what to do in groups and stuff. But I mean, I learned a little bit from that. I just learned a little bit here and there. I feel like people don't think I know how to cook because of the things, right? I make, but occasionally I'll get few comments like, this dude knows how to cook, he just chooses not to. I'm still cooking, but people don't take it seriously because like they're like, oh, it's not real food, it's a like a ramen burger, like the buns are made of ramen. I'm like, I'm still cooking it, like, and if anything, like making the buns of ramen is harder than just using regular buns. So it's like, I don't know. I think it's just because I did some more weird content in the past that they don't take it as seriously, but I don't really care because I try to not take myself too seriously sometimes, or this whole thing called life, really.
Oh my God.
It's just like, it's not that serious. Nothing's that serious. Once it gets too serious, there's problems as well. But
okay. Well, thank you for your wise words. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2-Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
So is there, I guess, do you, at this point, now that you've kind of come full circle of like not having any idea how to cook to then learning a little bit and being kind of, I guess, obsessive about it and wanting to become the best at it to then realizing like, there's probably no point in doing that. Where do you kind of see yourself? Like, do you still have goals of becoming a better cook? Like, are there certain cuisines you want to become more, you know, prolific in? Like, where do you kind of see yourself in your culinary journey taking you next?
I think, lately I've been kind of like bored of cooking, to be honest. I've been like bored of like, I really, really enjoy learning. I like learning about new things and I like learning about like myself. I like learning how to cook new things. But like, I don't think I ever want to just plateau on like cooking necessarily. I feel like that'd be like dumb because I always want to be in the cooking or at least food world. I want to be in the mm-hmm. food world somehow, even if I do like transition to be like fully comedy, like fully like doing comedy and like doing like movies or TV shows or like YouTube or just doing like skits or some sort of different type of content like in the comedy world. I still want to continue to learn about food and like I don't want to just not know how to make sushi the rest of my life or not know how to do poke or not know how to like fillet a fish. I don't know, like just certain like techniques. I don't know. There's definitely certain things I still want to learn, but I'm not trying to be the next Gordon Ramsay. I'm not trying to be the next, you know, like the Moody Foodie or something, you know.
Like, oh my God.
I'm not trying to be like the next like best chef in the world because like that's not what I really care about. I don't know. I think it's important to stay a student even if you are the best. Because once you think you know everything, then that's when you really stop growing. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at. Like, I'm going to continue to learn, but I'm not going to be like putting all my effort into learning. I think my learning is just going to come by me jumping into these recipes that I don't even know how to make. Like, a croquette. I've never made a croquette. So obviously when I make it, if I fail, then I fail at it and then I learn. But if I make it, then I learn as well. So it's like, it's just by doing what I'm doing, I'm already going to be learning, you know? Like the longer uh-huh. I do this, the more I'm going to learn. So,
well, thank you for your wise words again. Very important. So what are some, I guess, when you're cooking at home, whether you're learning or not, what are some ingredients that you always have in your kitchen?
Ingredients that I always have in my kitchen.
Yeah, do I even want to know?
Let me think. My freezer, my fridge is mostly sauces. and it's like, it's because like a lot of people are like, oh, it's because you like used to cover yourself in sauce for content. But it's like, it's not even that. It's just like, I think a lot of like cooks know, like if you're going to make a recipe, you're not going to use hoisin in every recipe, right? That hoisin is going to last you like months. Like, so yeah. It's like you buy hoisin, then you buy ranch, then you buy sriracha, then you buy like, you just buy a bunch of different sauces for different recipes. Then your whole fridge is full of sauces because you can't use all, you don't use these sauces on a daily basis. Like the only ones that I actually replace like weekly or monthly is like ranch or like Caesar dressing. Cause like I have salads at home, but like, I don't really use ketchup every day. I don't use like mustard every day. So it's like, it's a lot of sauces. and then like I'll have something sweet.
So we're stocked on sauces.
Yeah, like I'll have something sweet. Like it could either be like Oreos, Ben and Jerry's, vegan ice cream, mochi ice cream, any sort of like low calorie or vegan ice creams normally in my fridge too. Things to like try. Like I like trying every flavor of Pop-Tart or Oreos or you know, like a weird snack is normally at my place. And then,
so what's your favorite flavor of Pop-Tart?
Favorite flavor of Pop-Tart, I think the top two, I think there's like a wild cherry is really good.
Okay.
I like wild cherry. I like wild berry.
Wild berry. I actually have the best one.
Yeah, I have like an actual list of the best Pop-Tarts. But I think those two are definitely up there. And I also like the cinnamon roll and peach cobbler one.
Ooh.
But if we're talking like classic Pop-Tart, it's obviously blueberry. Like if we're talking like just out of the classics, because wild berry is not even necessarily classic, but
I feel like it is. I had wild berry like my whole childhood.
No, I mean, I definitely feel you on that, but I'm saying like if we're just talking like the sprinkly Pop-Tarts, like raspberry, cherry, grape, brown sugar, cinnamon, and strawberry, like one you could find at the gas station or any 7-Eleven.
Okay.
Like wild berry, you might have to check like a few different grocery stores for sometimes.
Okay. So but, you mean just like the plainer ones?
Yeah, the ones that you can are readily accessible at any time.
Okay. All right, well, I can agree on those. And then what's the best flavor of Ben and Jerry's?
See, that one's a little tough because recently I had a new flavor that was really good. But I guess I'll give you like the top few. Like,
okay.
There's a strawberry Pop-Tart flavor, which is really good.
That's a flavor of Ben and Jerry's?
Yeah, it's called Strawberry Topped Tart.
Ooh.
That one's really good. Cinnamon bun has always been like probably number one for a really long time until a few surrounders kind of like gave it its run for its money or whatever how the phrase is called. So cinnamon bun was kind of like number one for a while until like strawberry Pop-Tart came along. There's a cheesecake truffle one. That one's really good. There's a tiramisu flavor that's really good. And then there's dirt cake. That's the recent one that's really good. And then Netflix and Chilled is like a peanut butter pretzel one. So those are probably my top five or six, whatever it was.
Okay. Well, I'm in the mood for all of those. Those all sound fantastic. Yeah. And a lot of ones that I haven't heard of. So if you are a Ben and Jerry's connoisseur, be sure to write that down because they're are some flavors that I've never heard of. And I thought I was pretty well versed in Ben and Jerry's, but I guess not.
Yeah.
But it seems like you're kind of always on the hunt for things like this. Yeah. It seems like this is part of your life, just looking for these.
I know. Cause I used to, how I got into the food content is not only like, you know, like whatever I was eating healthy and went through the four different eating disorder thing. Like I started reviewing, I started like reviewing foods. like reviewing snacks like Oreos and fast food and stuff like that. I just started reviewing it and it was getting views on YouTube. So I'm like, okay, let's just keep trying them. And then once I stopped doing that, I still wanted to try every new flavor because, you know, like if I'm ever at dinner, like I'm like, oh, let's get something here that we can't get somewhere else. Like if there's a octopus dish, you can't get that everywhere. Like an octopus tail, that's like, I don't know, like you can't get that at every restaurant. But like you can get like a lemon pasta from like any Italian restaurant. So it's like,
every Italian restaurant.
But like it's really just like I'm one to always like try the new thing that I haven't tried or that is different about something. I just like taking the road less traveled by. You know that quote
I don't know.
It's Benjamin Stilton or whatever.
I don't know. But okay, sounds good. So tell me on that note, besides Benjamin Stilton, who inspires you?
Who inspires me? Oh, see, it's really funny that you asked that, Alexa. So people who inspire me, it's not many people in the food world, really, which is funny.
Mm-hmm.
If let's start with the food world. But
okay,
when I was a young lad, I watched Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern. And it's kind of funny that I was watching that and what I'm doing now. Because like he's also one to like try the weird thing and the bizarre foods. That was his whole thing. So he was probably one of the first people to really inspire me to like do the whole weird food thing because I always wanted to try new things like that. So he was probably one. And then Anthony Bourdain, his whole vibe inspires me, but like not his necessarily like his show and cooking background inspires me. Like his whole vibe of being like the cool guy, like making food cool again. Like that's right. What I inspires me about him, but not necessarily like his show and like who he is and everything he's about or whatever, but like him making food cool again. Obviously Gordon Ramsay's like everyone's inspiration as well. He's dope. But as far as like just celebrities in general, like I love you know, like Pete Davidson and like Eric Andre and Andy Milonakis and like Riff Raff. Like those guys, you know, maybe even like a little bit of Kanye or Kid Cudi kind of vibes.
Why? What is the reasoning?
Or like Steve-O and like Matty Matheson, like Andy Milonakis, Pete Davidson, Eric Andre. Like those guys are all probably the people that I admire the most and like think are super cool. Throw Little Dicky in there, Benny Blanco as well, like Lil Nas, Charlie Day, the whole cast of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't know. They're great. Yeah. Everyone I listed, I'm like, those people are all kind of my actual inspirations. Like those are more my celebrities that I'm like stoked about, you know? And I don't know the reasoning why I ended up in the food world, but those are all like comedy musicians or actors, or, you know, like, or like just even like improv, like what Pete Davidson does, but like they're all like comedy or actors and stuff or musicians. None of them really do food. So it's like, I guess it's hard for me to decide, like, do I take the route of the comedy realm, like especially the weird comedy? All of them do like strange, different things, but they're all true to themselves, I think. And they're all very, I don't know, they're just stoked to be themselves, you know, like they're very real as well.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, they're all super funny, real. And then, like, I don't know how I ended up in the food world necessarily, but maybe it's just it's hard to find the bridge between comedy and food because it's like I do look up to those guys more than the food people, but I guess it goes to show like why I'm doing comedy and food if those are my inspirations. But I also like the whole food realm. And that's why I say I'll never leave the food realm. Like, cause I do like trying new foods, and food has like been a part of my life for so long, and it always will be. But also, like, I just want to do more comedy, I guess, is what it is.
So I think that makes sense. I think it's all kind of coming together for me, but I do have one last question for you. That's very important. It's, PG rated F, marry, kill. So I'm going to give you three food items and you have to decide which one you want to F, which one you want to marry, and which one you want to kill, and okay. why. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got three. We've got sushi, salad, and ice cream.
Oh, wow. Those are like the three pinnacles of my diet.
I'm aware.
F, marry, kill. Okay. I got to figure out kill first, really.
Okay, start with that.
Okay, I got to think about my health here too, because I am terrified of mercury poisoning. So, like, can I really do sushi daily? That's a tough one, you know? Like, and salad could really be, I mean, we're not talking about like a tuna salad and a chicken salad. We're talking about like lettuce salad.
Yeah, like a salad that you like.
Okay. Realistically, salad I could eat every day, probably more than sushi. I feel like all the rice.
That's Mary?
Mercury can be a problem, but I mean, I can't kill ice cream, so I think I might F sushi. I might have to kill salad just because, like, I would get so bored of it. I don't think I'd get bored of sushi because, like, truthfully, you could hide some vegetables in some sushi, right? Like, you could do cucumber. You could even do, like, you know, you get the seaweed. You could even make the sushi into, like, you could even do like a poke, like a deconstructed sushi bowl, you know, throw some edamame in it or something, carrots.
You could get creative.
Yeah, you can get creative with both of them, really. I guess I'd kill salad only because it's like, I feel like I'd get bored of it. I don't know. That's tough. I always tell people if I could eat one thing the rest of my life, it'd probably be salad because it how like you could really eat it every day and not like be malnourished. This is probably the hardest question I've ever been asked in my entire life. So I guess
what is your answer?
So I guess I would F ice cream. It just seems like a effable thing. And then I guess I would kill salad and marry sushi.
Wow.
I'm just like, I'm scared of actually committing to that answer. Cause like, it's just like, you know, I'm not the best decision maker, but.
Yeah. It seems like you're going to lose some sleep over this.
I know. I might actually like want to like redo this whole podcast one day and be like, guys, like, I'm sorry. Like, I really actually should have said, I want to marry, and I want to, I don't know, but yeah, I guess that's okay. My answer. And I guess I'll have to stick to it, but I'll probably end up, I eat salad every day. So I'm kind of married to salad, but I guess if I could eat sushi every day, I would.
Okay. Well, we're going to stick you to that. We'll add it to your bio. Make sure you never forget that for the rest of your life. Put it on your tombstone that this is your answer.
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. But
amazing. That's what I'm here for, just to ruin your day.
Well, I just want people to know that I eat salad every day, so I'm not a salad hater.
You're going to get canceled.
Yeah, I don't want to be canceled for this answer. So
you might be. If it's going to be anything, it's going to be this.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Well, very important. Thank you for the hard-hitting work. Well, that was an absolute blast, Liam. Thank you so much for being here and telling me about your story and your strange but still interesting journey and answering the tough questions for me. That was very enlightening.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was the hardest part of this whole interview. Was that last question?
Well, think about that. Get back to me if you change your mind. We won't.
Oh, I will.
You know, we'll pencil it in. We won't do like Sharpie or anything.
Okay. Yeah, it's erasable.
Okay. You got it. Thank you so much for listening. To learn more about the food and drink discovery platform that is the Feed Feed, head to thefeedfeed.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at The Feed Feed, and don't forget to follow Liam on social media at Liam's Lunchbox on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. If you have a food story to tell or want us to interview a blogger, cookbook author, chef, or restaurateur, we would love your suggestions. Just send us a DM on Instagram. See you next time.
The Feed Feed is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradio.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from our listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Thanks for listening.